Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I backed this video game called Armed Fantasia, which is this Western inspired JRPG, kind of like the Wild Arms. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that.
Yeah.
And I got a recent survey saying, which system do you want? It's all next generation systems. It's all next generation systems.
That's right.
Like, damn it. I was hoping it would be available on PS4. It doesn't look like it belongs on PS5. It looks like it could be PS4 PC? Easily. No, I don't have PC. I don't have a...
No. But is that on there? Is that an option?
I don't know. I mean, this was a while ago. But I just... I'm annoyed that I'm like, oh, fuck. I put it for the next generation Switch because I feel like no matter what, I'm probably going to get like the next generation Nintendo system first because it'll probably also be cheaper or cheapest.
Is that coming out soon? There's got to be one.
It hasn't been announced. But I'm assuming when it does happen, I'll probably get that relatively soon. There's no release date or announcement on it.
I'm almost done.
I know, but what I was going to do is look at the Windows, right? Because, you know, like, for instance, for Mac products, there are websites that tell you, like, oh, the last time a MacBook Pro came out was don't buy another MacBook Pro. Or they'll tell you whether or not you're safe to buy one the window. Because they're already on their, like, second or third iteration of it, right? So there was the original one.
The Switch? The OLED?
The Switch, yeah, so there's the original. The there's OLED. An OLED. Yeah, see?
The light, third. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's about time. So it came out, actually, 6 years ago this month.
Oh, yeah, the system's all... And not only that, but the Switch is nothing but a glorified cell phone SoC in the Switch chassis. And the phone chip that they're using was... What it was an NVIDIA Tegra chip, if I'm not mistaken, which itself was already old when they started using it.
Yeah.
Nintendo has the best first party games. That's why Nintendo is always
that's the only
the best.
Reason.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I actually like the Switch was pretty amazing when I got it. I was just like, oh my God, it's legitimately you can just play it anywhere and then put it on the screen. It does exactly what it does in the commercial.
Yeah, I never use it portably. I don't know. There's never been. I don't know. I'd say Nintendo has the top
anywhere.
Three first party games.
Is that what you're saying?
I used that on airplane once, and it was just.
Well,
I
think the Switch
I was afraid
is especially,
of losing the discs.
The Switch is especially good for me because when I don't really ever these days just play a video game. It's usually on the couch.
Yeah.
While Kirsten and I are watching something, so just having that ability is key to doing any gaming.
All right. Well. I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Goddamn right.
All right.
Hello and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship and international podcast of LRM Online. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and on this week's episode, we're going to talk about Dungeons & Dragons and some news. We've got some folks here. Danny, what? What's the giggles?
Well, I'm laughing because and some news, as if like they know what the news is.
I'm going to get there.
Okay, sorry. And Danny's not here, by the way.
And Danny's not here. There was going to be a joke about Danny off getting some ill-gotten booty, but, you know.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. See?
It's ruined. Sorry I interrupted that. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about some news today as well. We'll see what we get through, but on the slate right now, we're going to be talking about Jonathan Majors, E3, and Scott Pilgrim. There's a Scott Pilgrim announcement for all those elder millennials out there who like Scott Pilgrim. Yeah.
Hey, we prefer the term geriatric millennials. Thank you very much.
No, we don't.
Speak for yourself.
Who the fuck is we, Mexican man?
I'm not a geriatric millennial, so I'm an average
elder.
I'm an adequate millennial.
Adequate? That's not what you were saying before the show.
Perfectly adequate.
Perfectly there you go. Perfectly adequate. So we're going to have a conversation about Dungeons & Dragons first. For those of you who've seen it, we're going to do a non-spoiler thing first. So hang on your hats for those folks who have not seen it. We're going to do the thing we normally do. We're going to do the short versions of what we think, and then we're going to roll into spoilers. You guys okay with that?
Let's do it.
All right. So Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves sits at an 89% on the tomato meter. It is fresh. Certified. It's got a 92% from the audience. So what we've got here, it is a charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers undertake an epic heist to retrieve a lost relic. But things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people. That sounds like that could be any movie. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Any Chris Pine movie, especially.
I think that synopsis was made by ChatGPT, to be perfectly honest. That sounds exactly like something that it would have written up.
Elon would say, no, don't do that. This film was directed by Jonathan M. Goldstein, John Francis Daly, and it stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, and Regé Jean Page. All right, so non-spoiler impressions of this film. Gentlemen, actually, I was going to start with, so Nick, I think you play more D&D than any of us, right?
Yeah. No, I play the same kind of jammer.
I've
been doing longer.
We're now, the same group. But you invited him.
To be fair, Nick is legitimately a terrorist when it comes to the game. He constantly He talks throughout and constantly talks over the dungeon master constantly. Constantly.
I have no experience with Nick doing that at all. much like the dungeon master.
And literally over the past three games, there's this little familiar type character that he's in charge of. And the past three games, he's been like, oh, wait, there's a separate character sheet for this? It's like, Nick, you were supposed to bookmark it three sessions ago.
It's my little droid, Band-Aid, because Star Wars Dungeons & Dragons.
You're not helping your case, Nick. That wasn't the point of my statement.
He's my boy.
All right, Nick Dahl, you little Dungeons & Dragons terrorist. Tell us what you thought of Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. Non-spoiler impressions, Twitter style.
A very funny movie from the same director, writers of Game Night. I keep wanting to say Due Date or Date Night. With their wit and charm combined with a Lord of the Rings / Game of Thrones-esque world. And, of course, the delightful leadership of Chris Pine makes for a fun time.
There. Well, thank you. Just Jammer Medina. Wait, actually, what's your new Twitter name? I was going to call you that. What's your name?
AJ Cerno Writer.
Oh, you've been that for a while. Oh, yeah. Sorry, never mind. AJ Cerno Writer, what do you think of this here Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves thing?
I think this is a perfectly adequate popcorn film that pretty much meets kind of what you'd expect to it, but didn't quite exceed it in a way that I was hoping for. But still a good time at the theaters. And a good time out with your D&D buddies if you have them.
All right. And for me, I think I'm probably more in the Nick Dahl camp. This film was a delight. I went in with zero expectations as someone who saw the trailer and went, I quite enjoyed it. Like, a lot. Surprisingly a lot. So, yeah, I'm ready to talk spoilers with you guys whenever you're ready. As soon as we give our letter grades, I'm going to go in with a big old A.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah. 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 Nick Dahl, what do you think?
I'll say A too.
What? Yeah. Oh.
A
oh
flat, not A plus.
Oh my God. But, oh,
all right, Jammer. Be the spoiler.
C plus.
You little bitch.
Oh.
boo this man.
It's still boo. Positive. It's still boo. Positive.
He doesn't like, you know what he doesn't like? A good time.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. No, it's perfectly serviceable. It's perfectly serviceable.
Perfectly serviceable.
But not much above it.
It's perfectly adequate.
The D wasn't good enough for you? The D wasn't good enough for you?
It was not. It was not.
So let's start with you then, there.
All right.
Jammer spoiler.
So, I mean, for me, the main thing is how much do I care about what's going on? And to be perfectly honest, not that much throughout the entire. And it wasn't even just not that the characters were fun. Like, sure, the characters were fun. But there were so many parts in the movie where I zoned out. Like, about all the stuff with the Red Cloak Lady, all of, like, the magics. I did not care. I literally zoned out for parts of it. As I was watching, I was like, I need to pay attention. I was like, ah, but I really don't care what's happening in the scene that much. There was a lot of that happening. And I realized also partway through, if somebody dies, I probably wouldn't care. I think they did a pretty good job of making me kind of care for Chris Pine a bit. And honestly, I didn't realize that they actually did a pretty good job of setting an emotional foundation until the very end. We're getting into spoilers, by the way.
We are in spoilers.
Until the very end when Michelle Rodriguez is very clearly dying. I was like, oh, I know where this is going. Oh, it works. It works. Because this whole thing where it's just like this little girl, she never knew her mom. So literally it's like she's bringing back her mom instead of him bringing back her wife. Like it was, that was good. And I started to choke up a little bit. There was also a really good scene midway through the movie with a fat dragon that was hilarious. That was so fun. It was just funny just seeing it like bumble around. It reminded me of my cat Jobin when he just trips all over things and just falls. But those scenes, like, they were fun. They were fun scenes, but up until that moment, I like didn't care that much. A lot of good set pieces, but there are a lot of plot points, a lot of points throughout the movie that I was just zoning out, and I really didn't feel like I missed anything. So I'm not sure I would watch a second one 100%. I'm not sure I would really go back and really sit down and be like, let's watch Dungeons and Dragons, unless it was like hanging out with people and talking throughout.
Fine. Nick Dahl, why is this an A movie for you?
Well, it didn't fully meet my expectations,
and yet Tetris was not an A+.
This is way better than Tetris.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's immensely better than Tetris. Because I had my, like, I was hoping, even though I knew that was the wrong thing to do. I'm like, Game Night's like literally the funniest movie.
Game Night is really good.
Last 10 years. So I was like, this is going to be that good. It wasn't that good, but it was great. It's because with the humor, it kind of started slow and obvious. Like when he's telling the story and it keeps cutting back to like.
Poor Jonathan.
Him. Yeah.
But, that poor bird.
Yeah, that was really funny.
I love how like every single time he gets slapped, pardoned. He's just like, ah.
Yeah.
Like he has no idea
the same thing at the end. Yeah. He's breathing. The bird is breathing. But then like the humor really picks up and goes to the pretty extreme places, like little tiny Bradley Cooper out of nowhere.
It was so funny when that happened. I was like, first I didn't recognize him, and then I was like, is that Bradley? What? I was like, I think that's Bradley Cooper, and Kirsten was just like, I don't like that.
Or even like what? even though most of it's in the trailer, the scene with all the dead people coming back and asking the questions, which did you guys stay for the first post-credit scene? I don't know if there were two.
I did stay for
the No, there's first only one. One.
Okay. Yeah. I only stayed for that one.
Yeah. That's what I figured. And then all the way through like hit the almost the meme one where like his face is like starting to melt because which reminded me of a meme where it's like a, you know, they have the illusion of Chris Pine playing the thing, and then suddenly he's like just
is that in the trailer?
No, that isn't. I was talking about the dead people scene is in the trailer, and it still was hilarious. Like, and they went
it was
far
great, to, yeah,
like it's in the trailer, but
that was actually really clever how they did that too, because it's literally just like, okay, let's get little bits and pieces from the story and like have everyone have like a different
portion of it. That was funny, or they died right before, So yeah, I just had a lot of fun with it, and I really liked the characters, the whole crew you would put together, and it did very much feel like a game of Dungeons and Dragons, especially when he was describing how the bridge works. Sounds like a dungeon master talking to his group, where he's like,
"Yeah, you must you do every trigger odd step. The mechanism."
Yeah. So that.
Okay.
I will say this is also a movie where I feel like you could tell there was a lot of improv because there's stuff like in the trailers that have alternate takes in this one. like that part with the bridge where he says, as long as you don't trigger this, you should be fine. And the guy's like, what did you do? I triggered the da-da-da.
Yeah, no, I thought the bridge started there.
And yeah, it didn't happen in the movie.
Didn't happen that way.
I feel like I really... Yeah, the last thing I want to say is these two directors have a first look deal with Paramount now. There's a franchise out there that...
Transformers?
No, I was going to say Star Trek. These are your Star Trek 4 directors right here. They've even worked with Chris Pine already.
It's not a bad idea.
That's a good idea. I like that.
They could go a little bit more serious with Star Trek.
Oh, I'm sure they can. Yeah.
Don't really have to either. But anyway.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the things I really liked about this was, first, I don't have regular access to trailers and commercials anymore. Everything I watch is streaming. So all of that stuff, I kind of miss it. So it's easy for me to see like a trailer and be surprised by a lot of what I'm seeing. So that's nice that I didn't have any of that stuff spoiled for me. What I really liked about it was the characters. I loved when Regé Jean and Chris Pine got together.
Oh like, my God. Their whole so dynamic good. Was
fucking hilarious.
Walking in it a was straight like, line.
Yeah, it was like Kirk and Spock, right? Just in the fantasy realm. And speaking like, of which, it was just, it killed me. The comedy for me really worked. I got to a point in the movie where I just started like laughing, right? You know, there are these moments where you're kind of trying to figure out what the vibe of a movie it is and whether or not you enjoy it. And at some point I just hit it. So it was in that dungeon when they got to the bridge and all this other stuff. Like at that point, it felt like the movie was moving at a decent clip. And the jokes were just working for me. Like when the chubby dragon showed up, when the bridge fell, like every
chubby, he was fat.
Man,
they call him the chubby dragon.
He must have moved his den. What did he do? Did he eat it?
Yeah. Like,
I was
so obnoxious in the movie theater. I felt bad. I was laughing so hard at this movie. So I really liked the comedy. The action was actually really good. The only thing I wish was that they had pulled back a little bit so you could see it. But I know that that's a trick so that they don't have to train quite as hard or obscure the faces of the stunt folks.
Oh, you're saying with the hand-to-hand combat stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The final battle, I thought, was the best of the fight scenes.
Yeah.
There were a lot of fun set pieces throughout. Like, I thought there was a couple. One great piece was also the one with the Sophia Lillis, mm-hmm. As she was transforming and going into the armor and stuff.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, cool scene. So that scene to me was harrowing. Like I was kind of on the edge of my seat because all the guards kept trying to grab her and like, okay, she's going to get away. She's transforming into other stuff. She gets out the window. When she's out the window, the arrows start coming. Once the arrows start coming, like, oh my God, she's going to get hit by the arrow. Then she lands on the ground. Like it just goes from one thing to another.
She's a deer.
And then she turned into a deer. I was just on the edge of my seat during all of that. Because what's nice about this not being an established movie franchise, anything can happen to any of these characters. So it was very fun kind of like leaning in to see that stuff. The last thing I'll say is I was really glad that this was real. There was a long time during the course of this movie where I was waiting for either a Lego movie or something else for them to pull back.
Oh, like someone's actually playing it.
Someone's actually playing the game.
That would have been bad.
And I was so happy that never happened. Because
I was surprised it didn't start out like that.
Yeah, I could have seen it one way or the other, and I was really glad that did not happen because I was so into these characters as who they were and being real that had that occurred, I would have been upset. Contrast that with, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Did you guys ever watch the Dungeons and Dragons cartoons as kids?
Mm-mm.
There were characters dressed like them in that last sequence, in the maze sequence.
Oh, really?
So like, So actually, yes. Kids or the crew that made it into the safe place in that maze, that was them.
That's funny. Hilarious. So I remember, goes to show fandom is toxic and awful, where I saw that because I remember watching the commercials for the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. And I'll be like, that looks stupid. And my friend was like, they ripped off Harry Potter. I'm like, bitch, that's clearly from the 80s. What are you talking about? But anyway, I remember like watching like a Reddit post and seeing like, this is how much people like, this is why they shouldn't give this movie to people like, you know, people in Hollywood because they don't understand and respect it. And they show that image and they're like, these are clearly the people from the 80s. I bet you they're going to die. They think it's funny. They're just laughing at us because they're just going to kill off these characters that we love so much.
Do yeah, people love them? Getting...
I don't fucking know, dude.
I don't know. I don't love them. I wouldn't give a fuck. Like, I watched that cartoon religiously. I wouldn't give a shit.
The only reason I knew it existed is they showed the opening credits to that cartoon before the movie.
Yeah, again, I'm so glad I skip all of this stuff. I don't
no, I mean, I'm saying Alamo Draft House, they show, like, you know, shit related to Dungeons & Dragons. Yes, the opening of the cartoon was shown before, but I still didn't notice the costumes were the same.
Okay. A couple of questions for you guys. So, Jammer, you've already answered this. Nick, would you watch a sequel to this film?
Hell yeah. That's why I want everyone to go out there and watch it, because it has a lot of buzz. Everyone I know under... Oh, my age or younger wants to see it. I even convinced my sister to see it because I want to see more. Like, this feels like it could be a good Chris Pine franchise, which he needs.
He's had other franchises.
He doesn't have any current franchises. Star Trek 4 might never happen.
Okay.
What's you can't bring him back in Wonder Woman again.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you can't bring him back again. That's not his franchise. He is the best part of those movies easily, but...
Totally. Okay, whatever.
You're just saying words, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
You're Nick Dolan.
I'm talking to Jammer. Sure. I'm talking to Nick. Like, he's the best part of that franchise. Like,
Yeah, he's the only reason I like the Wonder Woman movies. I just love Chris Pine. The he only reason? More.
Yeah. The only reason? I don't
and
get
Pedro.
You, Nick.
You're just saying words.
I don't get you, Nick.
They're not very good movies.
The first All right, Chris. Anyway. Pine carried the first movies. Sorry, guys.
See?
No, he didn't.
Sorry.
Yeah, some sense over here.
False.
No. Sorry.
He
False.
Don't get me wrong. He helped elevate it for sure. But no, he didn't carry it.
I got a few more people I could ask real quick. I guarantee they all say the same. Pine carried one Wonder Woman.
So, hey, I also got a few people I could talk to who would say otherwise. That doesn't mean shit.
Just because people agree with you doesn't mean your opinion is correct.
Yeah.
Whoa! Wait! You mean?
Well, you're talking to Kyle.
You mean? We all live in bubbles, and everything that you see online is exactly what they want you to see, which is just what you want to see in here. Oh my God! No way! Up is down, left is right. The whole world is ending.
Well, I was gonna compliment Kyle and be like, well, Kyle's always correct, so obviously Kyle's right
Kyle's
about 90, this. But he blew
99.99% correct. No, but it is weird whenever Nick and I agree on something.
No, that's so. What I'm like, someone's backing me up, and it's Kyle.
So very confused.
I have
so very
to
confused
back
what's
up
happening
Nick,
right now.
Nick, it's so awful.
So, you said you would want to see a sequel to this. I would love to see a sequel to this. And again, as someone who didn't want to see this at all. I'm shocked.
Yeah, well,
absolutely
I'm
shocked.
Me, I'm the opposite. Where I was smiling throughout, I laughed a couple of times. I didn't think the comedy was that funny. I thought it was. I wanted it to be funnier.
I was
Chubby
most
Dragon
person
killed
in
me.
My theater too.
Chubby Dragon was the funniest part of the movie.
I laughed out loud at Puny Wizard because we definitely got an Avengers moment in this.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I was like, ha ha ha, that's good.
The audience loved that so much. People were clapping, so even though it was obviously an Avengers reference. Maybe that's why it stuck with people. Yeah,
but it was good.
Because then it goes on a little bit longer than the Hulk moment. Because
then she gets back up, and then she's like, "Oh wait, no, she's not." And then throw her against the wall.
Oh no, she told. They were like, "No, I think you got her." And she like looked at them when they said that.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is she started moving. The red witch, whatever, started getting up. That's why.
If I have one complaint about this film, I do think it was a little long. It ran probably like 10-15 minutes too long.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think that everyone should see this. And the other thing that I liked about it, even though I've played D&D and have some frame of reference for when they're talking about Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter and all this other stuff. I did not think that it was necessary for someone to have played Dungeons and Dragons to enjoy this, which I think is, you know, for when you talk about games and video games and all this other stuff, Dungeons and Dragons is probably one of the most daunting where people hear Dungeons and Dragons. They're like, I don't even want to try. I don't want to get involved and blah, 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 blah. And I thought that they made this really accessible to just a casual viewer. To Nick's point about this being just a mashup of Game of Thrones and The Shire and all this other stuff. Like, yeah, like if you're into those things, you would probably enjoy this with a little dash of Sam Raimi.
Mm.
It's because of the zombies, isn't it?
Yeah, it is because of the zombies. You get me. You complete me.
I do.
Anything else to say about this film before we move on?
I will say that even though I gave it a C+, this conversation has made me appreciate the really good parts.
Whatever.
Oh my God.
That's every movie we talk about.
Not true. There's some that I hate more as we're discussing.
I'm sorry. Let me back that up. Every show that I'm on, there's a movie that you either love or hate, and your metrical move.
I don't love or hate
so
this.
Slightly.
I don't love or hate.
No. I'm saying your metrical. It'll like your needle will move.
Yeah.
Your needle moves.
Absolutely.
We make his needle move. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. After we're done talking, your needle moves.
You move
That's
my needle.
That's right. That's all I'm saying. So yeah. Dungeons and Dragons, go see it. Everyone says go see it, even though one of us has a really weird, erroneous grade.
Erroneous.
Moving on. So we've got some news about, man, they were talking about whether or not Kang would be an Avengers-level threat. Apparently, all they had to do was call the NYPD. So Jonathan Majors has been in trouble for a while this week. If you'd have to be under a rock to not be aware of his current situation, what's going on with him. I say it in jest, but the charges are actually pretty funny. I'm reading from, reading from a Variety article where they talked about the fact that Jonathan Majors was arrested on Saturday in Manhattan for an alleged domestic dispute. He was charged with several counts of assault in the third degree, 3 counts of attempted assault in the third degree, and 1 count of aggravated harassment in the second degree, and 1 count of harassment in the second degree. And so one of the things that came out of this, there were allegedly lacerations and bruises about the neck of the alleged victim. And so we don't know who this person is in relation to Jonathan Majors. A lot of speculations that is his girlfriend. And so some of the allegations are that he, and so here's kind of what's interesting. The way that the language is written in the Variety article is very much written like a charge. And so it says that he did strike her about the face with an open hand, causing substantial pain and a laceration behind her ear. She also claims that he put his hand on her neck, causing bruising and substantial pain. That's what I find interesting about that is, again, that is not, that's just language from a charge. Not necessarily.
It's at times like that
happen.
That's like at times like that when you realize it's like these people, the writers, they're like, I got to make sure this is exactly as it's written in the charge so we don't get sued for a libel.
Yep. And so in between the airing of this podcast and when that occurred, we have an alleged recantation from the victim where she sent a text message to Jonathan Majors.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
That Majors' attorney, Priya Chandri, released. And so this is from the alleged victim. Please let me know you're okay when you get this. They assured me that you won't be charged. They said they had to arrest you as protocol when they saw the injuries on me and they knew we had a fight. I am so angry that they did. And I'm sorry you're in this position. We'll make sure nothing about this. I told them it was my fault for trying to grab your phone. I only just got out of the hospital. Call me when you're out. There's a little bit more to it. And I'm sorry, she said, I love you. It's important. So the second part, I misspoke because this part is important as well. She goes on to say, they called again to check on me, and I reiterated how this was not an attack, and they did not have my blessing on any charges being placed. I read the paper they gave me about strangulation, and I said point blank that did not occur and should be removed immediately. The judge is definitely going to be told about this. She ensured this to me. So beyond that, it goes where she's talking about he has the best attorneys and all this other stuff. Again, Majors has maintained his innocence. There have been some consequences based on this already. So the Army has gone forward and edited Majors out of the ad campaign that they're doing. So if you, again, are an elder millennial or a little bit older than that, you recall Be All That You Can Be, they have brought that back with a $117 million ad campaign that included Majors in a major role in it, no pun intended. And, you know, that has already been dropped. They're moving forward without him. In addition to that,
I gotta say, Jonesy, that commercial was good. That one with him
walking really good
through all the battle stuff, the cinematography, the dialogue, his delivery. And I must say, the Be All That You Can Be coming back was
did it give you the feels?
I think it's a decent move. No, like just by branding and thoughts alone. I mean, I was after Be All That You Can Be. What were Army of One, Army of Strong, One. And then this now, right? I think I came in 2003, so whatever was there in 2003, and then of course Army of One. So anyways.
Listen, I mean, I got to say, and I've said this to you already, Kyle, that, you know, Go Army, Beat Navy takes a new context with him as the campaign lead. Yeah. So I feel like just keep it. The other thing that has happened due to these allegations, it was funny because Jammer talked about this on the last show. He said something like, you never hear about the bad stuff until you start losing. And so as these things are coming out about Jonathan Majors, you had two directors who have come out and talk about the fact that he's just no good. So there's an individual, A.B. Allen, who I believe is a director. He said, there's a particular actor relatively new to the scene who Twitter has violently fallen head over heels with, who in actuality is a vicious, cruel, abusive human being, both professionally and in his personal life. And every new viral thirst tweet about him drives me insane. Another director by the name of Tim Nicolai had something very similar to say. I guess he knew him when he was at Yale. He said he's sociopathic and an abuser, and that is how virtually everyone speaks about him. It's a shame it took this long for him to be reported. That is a lot of setup, gentlemen. I'm sorry about that. And like I said before we start the show, this literally could be the show just because there is so much to it. Just to kind of guide the conversation, what are your thoughts on the fact that he has maintained his innocence this entire time, and there has been little or no response based on anything that he has done from the DA's office? Because I remember at the beginning of the week, so this happened on Saturday, I think Monday, they were like, we expect these charges to be dropped imminently.
And they haven't
at all. So I was curious what you guys thought about that. Do you think that has any meaning whatsoever? And then the second part of that question is, regardless of what the DA's office does, these other allegations from these directors have nothing to do with that. So is the damage already done? Jammer, I'll start with you.
I mean, that was kind of my main point, is it does seem like, at least based on the initial response from his lawyer, that there's a chance that he actually is innocent in this particular case. That seems like a good bet. They seem pretty adamant about it. They came out really quickly and they talked about video evidence. Okay. But this did really at least open things up for other people to have conversations about him just being not that great of a person. And beyond that, being an awful person, both professionally and personally. So, yeah, I think regardless of whether or not the charges are dropped, regardless of whether or not it turns out, yes, he is innocent and nothing happened for this particular case, it has opened up the door for others to talk more about him, to share more stories. Whether or not it's true, of course, we don't know for sure, but blood is in the water and the sharks are coming. I guess as Whiplash once said, he didn't say that specifically, but it's just, I think he's in a tough situation and I have a hard time believing that Disney's going to move forward with him as King. And it sucks because he's a really good actor. And frankly, it just sucks whenever, you know, obviously you don't want anyone to get abused, but at the same time, like,
but
I don't like seeing a person of color get dragged through the mud about this. I just don't like it. Like anyone, but at the same, I feel like it's worse because I feel like it happens more frequently and it's just, I don't know. It's more impactful, of course, for people who are feeling have some, hey, I have someone to look up to. You know, you have Jonathan Majors, who not only is like one of the biggest, most talented stars out there, but he's also out there proving you don't necessarily have to be super masculine. You know, he was wearing like the Don Quixote Doflamingo get up and people are saying, oh, this is how they make us weak. I'm like, no, I think it's a good thing showing that masculinity can come in every, like, all different forms, whatever. But like, yeah, this sucks. No matter okay. what, like on all fronts.
All right. And so one of the things you talked about, you know, people talking, one of the other things that this guy, Tim Nicolai, also said was that I'm already seeing a bunch of, why didn't you do anything, folks? Why didn't you do anything? Folks, people have tried, ultimately needed a victim to come forward. It's both simultaneously awful to know he's still doing this and also a relief that he may never do it again. Nick, same questions for you as Jammer. What are you thinking about the fact that the DA hasn't done anything about this case, as far as dropping it, based on what we've seen thus far? And what, if anything, do you think is going to happen with Major's career, is the damage done?
We obviously don't have all factual information. I'm even saying from the lawyer's side, like the lawyer can say whatever they want. And we're just like, okay, so we don't know what's going on. If I were to say too much, it would be to speculate, but it doesn't look good that the lawyer's like, oh yeah, he'd be cleared by now. And he's not cleared. As far as his career, I actually applaud Disney for not knee-jerk reaction, firing him immediately and waiting to see a little bit. That being said, if he is found guilty of this, he definitely should be fired as Kang. And because, look, Disney doesn't want to look like a Warner Brothers right now. Marvel doesn't want to look like a DC where it's like, we're going to put all this money in. And maybe we haven't even confirmed that we're going to let him go. Ezra Miller obviously being the comparison to Jonathan Majors. And it would just, but I also don't want a James Gunn situation where like, okay, we'll fire him because of pressure. And it's like, oh wait, no, he's good enough to hire back. So I like the
wait. I will
say
it's not quite
see.
The same. It's a little bit different because Ezra Miller's thing is already shot and ready to go. Whereas I don't know if
well,
we have anything
that's my
King's
how much
centrics. But I mean,
Loki,
maybe Loki,
season
but I don't know. We don't know.
Do
how
you
much
recast
of it
him
is.
In Loki season two, even if you end up firing him?
I mean, I don't think so. My point is, I don't know how much he's in Loki season two, but even if he is, Loki is like the main person in that one. He's not like leading it.
But like, I know it's because the movie's still coming out, but no one at Warner Brothers has even said Ezra Miller is. I mean,
yeah,
obviously
because they
DCU
don't want
to.
They don't want to tank the they don't want to tank the prospect of the movie making money. That's
well,
like
they tank Shazam. Why
does
it matter?
Well, what do you mean? How do they? Tank
no
Shazam?
One wanted to see Shazam because they know it's not leading anywhere.
How did you? How do they tank it?
He's saying because
rebooting
the assumption is that
Oh. Well, I mean, they did the same thing to Flash. That's what they did to Shazam.
Flash is a Batman movie.
Flash.
That's
unrelated.
Why it's different.
That's unrelated,
well,
Nick.
So it's different in this respect. There is the potential that Flash is a Flashpoint, right? So while these other franchises might go away, you see the Flash to understand why. Right. So
and
yeah, even
Aquaman
if
is after
even if they're
it.
Sunsetting,
that's a different conversation though.
Yeah, even if they're sunsetting that universe, that's the rationale. For my thoughts on Majors, I've got a few things about it. It's interesting to me that the DA hasn't dropped the charges yet. I was wondering about that because Cam had talked about that in the Discord. And what I found interesting about that is now that I've seen these text messages, I'm not surprised because the text messages don't prove what his defense attorney is saying they prove.
Nope.
Jammer, if I grab your cell phone, that does not mean that you then get to punch me in the face or strangle me or whatever. And so if there was an assault that occurred because she tried to grab his phone, that does not justify what these alleged injuries are. So I find that to be interesting.
I mean, it comes across as someone who comes from an abusive relationship. It's like, oh, I told him it wasn't your fault.
Well, and so there's that part of it as well. Doing domestic violence cases, and people keep pointing this out to me, like it means something. Recantation doesn't necessarily mean that the violence itself didn't occur. There have been multiple victims that I have dealt with of domestic violence that have recanted because they realize what they quote unquote stand to lose if this person's convicted, right? Be they in the military or be they people who are, I don't want to say, he is a person who is on a meteoric rise in Hollywood. He has unlimited potential financially, and in terms of just his stature in Hollywood. And so this is that potential situation. He is built. And so I'm not saying this happened. I'm not subscribing to any conspiracy theory, but the president of the United States, former one, was just arrested for paying someone off to lie indicted. About something.
Was he actually arrested yet or indicted?
I'm sorry, indicted. The arrest's coming probably. I think he's going to turn himself in. So
next week.
Just indicted for similar conduct, right? Paying somebody off to make sure that they don't continue to talk about the thing. So it's not too far outside the pale to say that that's what occurred here. As far as his career goes, so Jammer, I think I'm of a different mind, or maybe you'll make it more clear when I say what I'm going to say. Like, to me, it doesn't matter his color as far as him being dragged. I think I understand what you mean. What I do see as a racial component is the difference in treatment. And so, at least from a legal perspective, I've seen Ezra Miller be treated differently for similar misconduct. Like, I remember he slapped that chick on camera.
On camera.
Silence.
Yeah.
Not a fucking word about it. And so from that perspective, I do see the racial component there, and that is what bothers me. But
and
to
I also,
Nick's point,
for me, on my point, I just, frankly, I'm biased. I don't like seeing that happen. I'm just like, ah, why you got to do that? Why you got to bring representation down like that? Like, that's what I think about and what this means in the perception of actors of color in Hollywood. And now it's just going to make it maybe down the line more likely for people to do the same thing, perpetuate that sort of thing. It's just frustrating on that front when you have somebody who's on such a meteoric rise and you don't want to see that type of thing, because I feel like it affects people of color, the perception of people of color actors, more than white actors like Ezra Miller once again.
Yeah. Again. And so that is my frustration. That's what I see. And so the next thing that I am looking for, I am really curious to see what the studios do with this information. What is Disney going to do with this information? Because Nick was alluding to this. What I see is you've got this spectrum, right? And I talked about this in the Discord. You can't use WB as a metric for anything. They're kind of all over the fucking place with Johnny Depp, with what?
I was just laughing because you're right.
Oh, yeah. With Johnny Depp, with Ezra Miller. You can't figure out what they're going to do there. With James Gunn and Disney, you saw that they were like, oh yeah, we're done based on that. So they seem to have learned something from that, and they're kind of waiting a little bit. You know, the Army wasn't waiting to pull the trigger, like, we're out. And yeah, what I find fascinating about that is I think that that is institution based. The Army has a problem with domestic violence and sex assault, and so they cannot be seen waiting to pull the trigger on dumping this guy as soon as possible. So unfortunately for him, innocent or not, he is involved in an organization that just cannot be seen covering for anything that looks like that. So from that perspective, this is all kind of fascinating. It sucks that both of them are going through this, but I'm really just waiting to see what happens with one, what the DA's office does, and then also what the studios do based on that information. But yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot of stuff. It is a lot of things, and none of it is good. None of it's good.
None of it's good. Anything else to say about this?
No. We'll have to wait and see what happens next. It's one of those stories.
Next.
They're all that. All the stories are that.
So we had two more stories on the slate. Do you guys want to go forward with them? What do you want to do? What do you think?
Let's do Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, that'll take like 3 minutes.
It'll take longer than
that. All right. So we have Edgar Wright tweeting on the tweet thing that this is not a drill, right? So he posted the voice cast for the latest Scott Pilgrim project. I probably should have looked up. I don't recall. Is this movie like 15 years old at this point?
It's 2011, I think. I think it's like 12 years old.
Okay.
We had an anniversary recently of some sort.
And so it seems like we're going to get another project from this universe. Is it a sequel? Is it a remake? I don't know, but it's going to be an anime.
It's 13
years old. Okay. Yeah. I feel pretty good. That was pretty close. 2 years off. 24 months.
I thought it was the same. I thought he does say that it's just going to be a retelling of the books, because there's like 8 issues of the
They're books. Called volumes, Nick.
They're 8 volumes. I don't think
they hadn't finished by the time the movie came out, right? And so
I wanted to talk about.
Are you sure?
Yes.
No,
yes,
I know that that's true. Yeah.
Well, he knew the ending.
This is, yeah.
You would, yes, the, but you would think he would incorporate it, but he didn't. He didn't incorporate it.
I heard a podcast with him and the writer of the book. Oh, sorry, we should finish the news story before we start speculating on shit.
All I was going to say is that this has the potential to be the brotherhood to Full Metal Alchemist, right? So Full Metal Alchemist. Yeah. This is Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, where you actually find out what the ending that was intended. That was a deep cut. Jammer, you go ahead.
That was a good cut. The thing that always really stuck out to me is there are elements in the story, in the comic, that are brought into the movie. And in the movie, they come across as weird stylistic choices. But in the comic, they're plot points. For example, that one scene where Ramona, like, I think she like drags, what's his name? Oh, Scott Pilgrim. And like through like her like hyperspace, thing world. That's never explained. That's never really a plot point. That's a plot point in the comic, and it plays into the ending of the comic. It's just never explained. And there are lots of those throughout the entire movie where it doesn't quite match up perfectly. And as you know, Jonesy said, they didn't release the book yet, but apparently he knew the ending, but still he didn't incorporate it fully into that movie. And to me, while the movie is great, it always made it a little bit unsatisfying because there are parts that didn't really make sense or tie in effectively in a way that it could have been. And it kind of also reminds me of, this is a weird tangent, Prisoner of Azkaban, the third Harry Potter movie, where stylistically it's a really cool movie, but if you have watched that and haven't watched the book, there are just so many loose ends that don't make any sense.
I've read the book.
Haven't read the book. There are so many things that just don't make sense at all and that are never explained. And I think that's kind of the same effect with the Scott Pilgrim movie. So I'm really happy that they're finally going to have the anime. It's probably going to be more faithful, mixed in with a stylization that you expect from Edgar Wright. And they could actually tie things in more effectively and get the adaptation stuff that I wanted from that first one.
I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. I was very happy with what I got.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. And so the question, like, I have several t-shirts from the movie. I love what I got. And so I'm definitely afraid of, it's weird. You know, it's that Jay-Z quote, what you eat doesn't make me shit. This adaptation
I'm
could
sorry.
Come out.
Can you explain that? Right. I've never heard that quote before and I need it explained to me.
I shouldn't care what you do because it doesn't really affect, like, if you, like, what you eat doesn't make me shit.
Oh, got like it. Okay. Yep.
So like, I still have that Scott Pilgrim movie. I can still enjoy it. Then making this thing doesn't take anything away from that. But there's still that weird kind of niggling feeling about that in the back of my head. And I think part of that is because it is tied so closely to that film, right? You've got the same director, got the same voice cast. And while it's not canon with that film, it's bothering me. So I'm with you. It would be cool to see a more faithful adaptation of the comic book, but I'm apprehensive. But Edgar Wright has never let me down. So from that perspective,
has he done anything animated before?
Not that I'm aware of.
I know he's
look,
an
don't try and make
producer.
Me worry more.
Ant-Man animated.
Well, my point is, I think his style is suited for animation. And I think that would be really cool to see him cut his teeth on this. I wonder what I guess he's working with Netflix. I wonder what studio they'd hire for it. I feel like Scott Pilgrim would be really good if they got Studio Trigger to do it. That'd be cool. They could
do
something
think
really stylized.
They'll keep, okay, so you would rather have it very stylized and have it look like the comic, which is already influenced by anime? See, that was my fear, and this is the joke I was going
to
make.
That's exactly what I want.
Is my joke was going to be, I don't want to see Knives Chow as the high schooler with giant anime high schooler tits.
Oh my god!
No, it's going
to
be.
You have to go with there.
It's going to be stylized like the comic, is what I'm saying, or it should be. That's what I think.
That's what I'm saying. The comic already is an anime style. That's what I'm
saying.
Do you want it to look
like
the comic?
Did you read the comic? Do you know what the
have
characters look like in the
have
comic?
Have you met Nick?
Yeah, they look like kind of like anime light.
Yeah, but they don't.
Wait,
have
you notice he ignored the question you asked.
No, but that's what I thought you said. You
have
wanted
you read
it to be
book,
very
Nick?
Different in the comic.
I wanted to be stylized like. I wanted to be stylized like the comic.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I was
my
question.
What we're
I thought you said the opposite. Yeah.
No, I definitely didn't say the opposite.
I thought you said no.
No, you just weren't listening. You just heard what you wanted to hear, Nick, so you can make
children,
your anime titties joke.
Children. Let's calm
I just,
the fuck down
I do
here.
Think it's also interesting. Well, yeah. Well, I was going to say earlier, I listened to, there used to be a great screenwriter podcast. The guy stopped doing it, but they had on Edgar Wright and the writer of the comic. And that's where Edgar Wright was like, yeah, I decided to switch the ending with who Scott Pilgrim ends up with. Because he knew all the endings and stuff. Unlike.
Well, it was less about who he ended up with, in my point of view, and more how it tied into other things that were previously set up in the story.
Okay.
That was a little unfulfilling for me.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to feel about that either.
I just think it'll be fun to flesh it all out, especially since, and it's also very interesting that only the first volume is called Scott Pilgrim versus the World. But
why is that? Yeah,
I definitely read the comic after watching the film, so I'm curious how that's going to impact my thought process about this. But we'll see. Gotta wait. I don't think there was a release date, right? He said imminent. That's the best we got.
Yeah. There was no release date. Yeah,
I'm fine with that. I love when Netflix is like imminent, and it's like, oh, next week. Here we go.
Oh no, I'm thinking next year, if that, or maybe the year after. I think it's like early times.
That's not imminent.
Yeah, imminent means it's happening at some point. Doesn't
mean they already announced?
No, that's not what that means. Imminent.
Really?
Imminent is soon. Jesus Christ, aren't you the writer?
I look.
You're the one that words. You're supposed to word good.
I do like that. It's the thing that makes us most interesting is what the main thing the announcement is.
Right. Before you all embarrass.
You're right.
Yes, I. Thank you.
I'm so shocked right now. Like,
oh my god,
you have no idea, Jammer. That is just one of the, like, that's base word right there, man. Like. Imminent. It is like even they use it in
now.
Like a case
time
of like
now.
Storm threats or fire tsunami threat. Like,
see, I always read it as like it's imminent. Mean, it's gonna happen.
No, it's
no,
it's
that's
going,
eventual.
Like, yes, it's going to happen now. Like it's
but yeah, no release date
now.
I would be happy if it came out this year. I would also be surprised if it's coming out this year.
It's coming out this year. Frankly. I'm calling it right now.
All right.
You know what else is imminent? The end of this podcast.
No.
So you're saying it's Nobody coming eventually?
No.
No.
We just keep going.
Right now.
The Picard report. Still fun.
No. No. Not a thing. All right. So.
Been a thing. It's the only week we missed was last week because Kyle had to go. So it's a thing. It was a thing. I already completed it.
I'll tell you what. Not a thing now. All right. So, dear listeners, if you like what you heard, except for the Picard report, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM and the Genreverse have other great content for you. Where else on LRM Online and the Genreverse Podcast Network, wherever your podcasts are sold. Folks, as always, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on you.
And Science Sorrow is doing the animations for this Ferris Scott Pilgrim.
Mission accomplished.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.